Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Jeff Call. It was presented in September of 2014. The title of the message, The Danger of Unforgiveness.
I want to speak to you this morning with the time that we have, and I want to talk about this concept of forgiveness. Of all the conversations that I have with people in my life, it sure seems like they revolve around conflicts with people. And there's always some issue, there's always some drama, there's always some misunderstanding. And so, you know, sometimes you look at someone's spectacular testimony in the past and you assume that, boy, they have a real handle on this concept of forgiveness. You know, a person doesn't have to live more than a month and they'll have an offense come their way. And they've got to figure out what to do with that. And some people, quite frankly, who are seasoned in the Word of God and they understand the Scriptures and they're committed to live a life of peace among brethren and be problem solvers and relationship builders, these people, they understand the importance of covering a multitude of sins. They understand that they have to walk around with a backpack of blankets to cover things, or they'll be in fights all the time. And those people are peacemakers, and I'm so thankful for those people. I've been the recipient of people who, when there's an offense, they showed mercy and grace and calmness in the midst of a little stress. But then there's people who just haven't taken a firm grasp on these Bible principles. Perhaps they don't understand the importance of them yet. Maybe they haven't practiced them enough in their lives to become habits. They haven't exercised themselves unto godliness. And so their road tends to be a little harder than it needs to be, simply because they're unwilling to solve an issue simply by offering the forgiveness that one can offer because they've been forgiven by God. Some people just want to spar a little bit more, a few more days, you know, on this particular issue. And I just want to help you this morning with this. It reminds me of a story I heard a while ago. A man heard a knock on his door, and he opened that door and didn't see anyone, closed it. He heard another knock on the door, and he thought, well, who's knocking on my door? Looked around, didn't see anyone. He looked down on the porch, and there was a snail. Evidently, that snail had knocked on his door. He picked up that snail, and he whipped it as far as he could in the neighbor's yard. He thought he was done with that snail. 2 years later, that man was in his house. He heard another knock on his door. And that man opened the door. He looked down. There's that same snail. And that snail looked at him and said, what was that all about? And there's a lot of people who just wait a long time to solve a problem. And that, I could just see that snail, you know, slowly going through the weeds, and he can't wait to have a conversation with that guy who did that to him. And that's pretty much how people tend to live their lives with problems. And so turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is going through a series of parables. He's telling some stories that certainly have national implications with the nation of Israel, and yet you can drive some principles to live personally. And Peter, among many, are listening to Jesus speak. And typically, when you're listening to someone speak on a very important subject, you're starting to put together some key questions because it doesn't match up with what you believe to be true. And so Jesus talks about someone who offends a little one and the grave dangers that occur when that happens. And then he talks about the lost sheep and how important it is to go after that one, because as hard as that one wouldn't be lost. And then he talks about discipline and how to approach a particular issue within the confines of a group of believers. And then Peter, Jesus is done talking, and Peter, he forms this question. He says in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" That's a very valid question. All of us have asked that question, maybe not just like this. You know, listen, how many times can a brother sin against me and we still have fellowship? Now, for some people, you've heard some people say, because their number certainly isn't the number that Peter suggested. Peter was being very generous, and he said seven times. Seven? Seven is a little higher than what most people would say, but seven, that probably would please the Lord. Seven would be good. Jesus would be happy with seven. And you've heard people say, listen, if I told you one time, I'm not going to tell you another time. You know, you've heard people say, so some people, it's just one time. You know, they'll give you a little grace one time. But that second time, they're going to cut your tires. They're going to burn your house down. I mean, they're just done. And so Peter was being very generous seven times. In fact, all of us in this room would say seven is still pretty gracious. But that wasn't what Jesus' response was. Jesus opened it up a little wider. In fact, he opened it so wide for you to see and grasp the mercy and the grace that God himself bestows on people. Of course, in the context of the nation of Israel, God has showed mercy and patience with this nation, these people, for generations and generations and generations. And it's the same God who loves us in this generation. And it's the same mercy and that same a willingness to forgive. And you know, he wants us to be like him. He wants us to grasp these principles. But we have to understand that offenses are going to come. And Jesus said that you shouldn't be surprised. Offenses are going to be part of your life. Forgiveness is an essential principle that's necessary to keep our sinful nature from destroying our family and our friendship relationships. Of course, Jesus Joseph had forgiven his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verses 20 and 21. In fact, I think it's one of the sweetest set of verses in all the Bible. We'll just go there for a quick moment. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, it's my favorite passage of all the Bible. It's certainly Joseph is a picture of Christ. And it says in verse 19, "And Joseph said unto his brothers, Fear not, for I'm in the place of God. For am I not in the place of God? I'm right where God wants me to be. Don't be afraid of me. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as is this day to save much people alive. Therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. This is not typically the response that someone gives another person who's been an offense to them, especially someone who has a group of people or an individual who took 20 to 25 years of their life from them. And Joseph certainly, like many do today, could go back and say, you know, you've taken all the things that I considered important, and many of us consider family important, and you took all those memories away. There's no family vacation photos. There's no Facebook entries with me in it. There's just nothing. There's nothing. And Joseph could have said that, but he took all that 25 years or so, and he said, "Listen, you come on in, and I'm gonna speak nice to you. I'm gonna love on you guys. I'm gonna help you, because God put me in this place to bring this to pass this day." And what a beautiful picture of someone who didn't extend difficulty and stress and problems in a family by holding on to a hurt. And there's a lot of people who will extend arguments way into the future because they refuse to stop it at a certain point. I've certainly seen that along the way. And you know, certainly those people are worse off for it, for not applying God's word and being the bigger person when it comes to this. The danger of unforgiveness Hebrews 12:15, and it talks about, you know, certainly gives us a little snippet of what happens when someone refuses to allow the grace of God in their lives. But Hebrews 12, verse 15, the Bible says, looking diligently, and that looking diligently is not a casual look. It's being very purposeful in your day-to-day living and choosing to watch out for your own life, to make sure it's way it should be lived. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Certainly the seeds for any of us are already planted in our lives as far as sin springing up into it. That old nature's there, and you're always being tested. All of us have the ability to do worse than we've done. All of us have that ability if we nurture that. And certainly if we pull that trigger with lifestyle choices, we're going to see a lot of hard paths in front of us. And certainly the Lord doesn't want that. And so, you know, we're told in verse 15, look diligently. You know, look at your life. Be careful, because you could fail of this grace that God gives us. And you're careful because that bitterness can come up. And what will it do? It will trouble you. It will stress you out. It will make things difficult. It will cause pain in your life that He doesn't want you to have. And more than that, it will destroy your family. It'll destroy all the things around you. And we oftentimes spread this because we're not willing to stop it individually. And so the danger of unforgiveness, let me give you a couple things to consider. Number one, unforgiveness keeps us in the hurts of the past. It holds us in bondage. I know people who are still acting like the age where the hurt occurred. In fact, I was reading a book a couple of years ago, and a professional counselor said in all of his observation of people's lives and troubles, they get stunted at the point of greatest bitterness. And that's why you'll see a 50-year-old acting like a 16-year-old. That's why you'll see people who never grew, because there's a point in their past that they never offered forgiveness, and they've dwelt on that for such a long time, they can't move past it. And I have found that to be true as well. Unforgiveness keeps us in the hurts of the past. That's all we talk about. That's all we focus on. Every time you go for a family reunion, aren't there stories that always come up? I don't want to live in the past. The past is over. It's done. And I want to live for the future. And I don't want anything coming between me and the blessings of the future. Unforgiveness produces deep bitterness, a deep bitterness. And it may not be apparent to others. It's that inner struggle that a person faces. And it stunts you in your growth. But that unforgiveness will produce something that's almost unsolvable, certainly in your own mind, it's unsolvable. And certainly with others who tried to counsel, they just, hey, listen, I can't help you anymore. We've done that many times with folks. Unforgiveness hurts other people. Unforgiveness stops God's blessings. You know, man can't experience the blessings of the Lord when he lives his life with, you know, that antagonism, you know, that constant bickering. God tells us don't live in the flesh. The flesh produces a certain outcome. There's laws, there's spiritual laws like laws of gravity that govern our life. And, you know, and those things are going to stop and prevent us from experiencing the blessings of the Lord. And we certainly don't want that. You don't want that. God wants to bless you. He wants you to enjoy life exceeding and above all that you can think or ask. That's how he wants you to live. Now, I don't know what it is in your life, and certainly everyone in this room, I just assume that you're living for God and doing right, and there's no problems. As you think through the last week, you've properly addressed every particular issue, but as sure as I'm standing here tomorrow, the next day, you'll be confronted with it again. And certainly you want to stop it as quickly as possible. Number two, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness is forbearing. Forgiveness is offering reconciliation. You know, when we forbear one another, it's setting my expectations for how another person ought to live. I'm setting that aside. You know, quite frankly, if two people are going to coexist in a home called a husband and wife, they're going to have to forbear one another. There's some things there. You know, when my wife recently, I lost my phone, so I thought I would just go to her phone, go to her favorites list, and I would go to her favorites. I'd find my name near, if not at, very near the top, and I would just call myself, and bam, I'd find my phone. So I went to her phone, I went to her favorites list. I noticed two things on her favorite list. One, I noticed there's a lot of people on your favorite list. I scrolled, there must have been 50 people on that thing. I said, Carol, you can't have 50 people on your favorites. Because a writer recently wrote in a book on friendship that a man is most fortunate if at the end of his life he'll have three close friends. So it's not possible to have 50. So you have 50, we're gonna have to clear some of these people off, and we gotta reflect what reality is. And so favorites are for favorites. And so I noticed something else though. I wasn't among any of those favorites. I noticed I wasn't on that favorites list. I'm like, hey, Carol, we gotta solve this. And that just really hurts a husband when you find out that little piece of truth. We were doing a couples retreat a little while ago, and I said, you know, when I go through an issue, if there's something of discussion that my wife and I are having, and we can't seem to get past something, I consider a number of things. Number one, I consider, you know, her mom and dad are from Mexico, so she has that Latin American mindset. So I thought, well, maybe there's something, you know, I'm German, I'm all German, bomb our country in 3 decades, we'll rise, the empire will rise again. You know, so I just kind of, and, you know, Carol's like, hey, it's no big deal. And so maybe it's something related to our nationalities. And if that doesn't explain it, maybe it's gender. You know, women and men think differently. I know what women are thinking right now. Yes, women think right, men think wrong. I know. And if that doesn't seem to solve it, there's a little age difference. She's a little older than I am, 5.5 years older. I went to get Bible college, and I said, I want to marry a senior. I just didn't know that she was in her third year. And so I told Carol that when I got married to her, I had to put up with a lot of maturity. So if that doesn't seem to solve it, I have to consider something very important. This really does affect a lot of marriages. I have to consider demon possession on my wife's part. And if I can't seem to solve, if none of those things seem to work, I just said, I probably did something wrong. And I told I said at this couple's retreat, if a man just starts on number 5 rather than the first 4, he'll solve things a lot quicker. But you know, forgiveness has a lot to do with forbearing. Forgiveness has a lot to do with your spirit. Forgiveness has a lot to do with your intent to please the Lord and offer this forgiveness that He's so freely forgiven us. But let me give you a couple things to consider. Letter A, forgiveness is verbally declared. It's a personally granted promise. I love you. I forgive you. It's something that has to be stated. And the reason it has to be stated is because it was addressed. You know, forgiveness isn't, you know, sweeping something under the rug. Forgiveness isn't, you know, minimizing the problem. Forgiveness isn't even, you know, letting someone off the hook if there's a legal ramification to what they did. And so when you say something verbally, you forgive them, it doesn't mean that you don't address it biblically. You're addressing it biblically by forgiving, but there's other details that might have to be covered. But it's letting them know that you're getting past this issue. Letter B, it's a statement of undeserved, unearned love. That's what forgiveness is. You know, you did wrong, and God forgives. You know, there's no basis of forgiveness on our own merit. It's all in the merit of Christ. And it's an assurance to the offender that there's no anger, hatred, or desire for vengeance. And that's important. When I forgive someone, I've released that fleshly response from the solution. Letter D, it's a promise of no self-pity or bitterness. You know, I've met people, I forgave them. They're so down about it. Forgiveness is a thing of freedom. And then letter E, it's a guarantee that you'll not bring it up into the future. That's hard to do. Hey, listen, that especially if you're a parent and you're raising children. But when you forgive someone, you take every new problem as a new problem. You take every new offense as the first offense. That's the key to solve the next problem. I had a counseling scenario in my office a few years ago. Literally, the husband and wife came in, and they got in a fist fight. And the wife won. and I remember she threw this, I have my Bible, it was her notepad. And she said, well, you want to know what the problems are in this home? And she threw her thing out. And she just page after page. She wrote everything down. I was thinking, first of all, she should be an accountant. She had this down. And the second thing I thought of, man, he really does a lot of wrong. I mean, he's got to be more careful. And number three, she spent a lot of money on pencils. and then he pulled out his pad. And I thought, I don't think this is ever going to be solved because they have kept the record. And they have focused more on another person's problem than actually the problems that they have in their own lives. There's so many people that bring up the problems of other people never see the problems that they themselves may have caused in a particular scenario. But it's a guarantee that you're not going to bring it up into the future. Three, never are you more like God than when you forgive someone who's offended you. You know, listen, I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the blessings of being Christ-like. And sadly, we haven't always been what we should be, but we strive to be what we ought to be. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, all these things that people do on a regular basis who aren't governed by the Holy Spirit of God. And it says, and be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. The very last thing in the scriptures, in Ephesians chapter 4, after the litany of offenses, forgiving one another. We went through all the things that people ought not do to you and you ought not do to others. And it ends, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The motivation for our forgiveness is because we have been forgiven. And quite frankly, people who can't forgive have never come to full grasp of the forgiveness that they have received. Quite frankly, many people come to the cross, hey, listen, I know I did wrong, I've fallen short, I'm not as holy as God, but I'm better than most. And because I'm better than most, the forgiveness I got didn't cost the Lord near as much. And we hear this in Scripture. Scripture, you know, clearly states, he that's been forgiven much loveth much. The man and the woman that understands the amount and the depth of forgiveness that they had received, boy, they can forgive much easier. They understand what's at stake. But never are you more like the Lord when you forgive someone who's offended you. Failure to forgive is equated with murder in Matthew chapter 5. Let her see whatever it is that a sinful person has done against you, they've done also against the Lord. If God can forgive, you must also. What a blessing that is. Hey, listen, the offenses that we experience are the ones that God himself experienced on a regular basis. And letter D, you forfeit your fellowship with other Christians. I have seen families broken apart. I was preaching a message years ago at a church, and this woman came, and she was weeping. She was about 70 years old. It was the same town. She said her son had offended her, and her son had offended her in 1970, and he lives on the next street from her, and she has not spoken to him for 30 years. And she said she's going to go over to his home that afternoon and take care of that problem. Hey, I'm glad and rejoiced that the Lord grabbed hold of her heart, never heard what happened, but I know if she went over there and she hugged on him and sought forgiveness, I'm certain that that relationship was restored. But it's amazing how many people will let 30 years go by Now let 30 years on this earth, when we don't have many years to spare, and they'll forfeit a relationship with those that they're supposed to be closest with. Failure to forgive results in chastening from the Lord in James chapter 2, and then the absence of forgiveness renders us unfit for worship in Matthew chapter 5, passages I think that you can go to and you're familiar with. A man that brings a gift to the altar yet holds an offense in his heart is told, hey, listen, leave your gift at the altar, but you first go and be reconciled to your brother and then return to that gift. That gift is much more acceptable, much more sweet, much more genuine, because you are living the Christian life outside of the church, not inside the church at the altar. The altar is a place for humble people to come because they've chosen to live their life a certain way. I had two staff members a couple of years ago, not long ago actually, and they couldn't get along. Both of them good people, both of them talented, and they would come to me separately, and every time they come to me separately, I'd always, hey, well, listen, hold on just a minute. I bring the other person in. Hey, listen, let's talk. Can't we solve this problem? And they would just talk superficially, and they would give some weak responses. And, you know, I honestly was concerned because it was affecting the spirit of the rest of the staff. And finally, I had one of my friends talk to them, and he told me what he told them. He said, Jeff, you should let them know that they need to solve this problem, or you're going to have to let them go and do it kindly. And he goes, but I gave them a test. I went to one of them and I said, you need to invite the other over to your home. So I don't even know what I've done to offend you. If you want to go through each offense, I will, but I want you to know that I'm sorry that I didn't match up your expectations. Please forgive me. From this day forward, I want to let you know that I'm committed to this relationship. That's the right response. And then he went to the other person without them knowing it, and he said the same thing to that person. These people are in their 30s and 40s and, you know, older people now, and he said, whoever goes and initiates that is the more spiritual one, and they're the ones you should promote. And so I called a couple of weeks later, and I said, neither of them did it. He said, well, then both of them aren't very spiritual, and they're not going to be able to help other people. And it's sad that even Christian organizations cannot live what the Bible says to a world that needs to see Christians living what the Bible says, because they don't have answers to problems. How are they going to know that you're genuine Christians? Because you have this love for one another, and part of that love for one another is forbearing and forgiving one another.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled The Danger of Unforgiveness from Jeff Call. It was originally presented in September of 2014 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.